Measure Up Podcast, episode 26, where the KPI rubber hits the road. G'day and welcome. It's Stacey Barr here, Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. My passion is making it easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. In this episode of the Measure Up podcast about where the KPI rubber hits the road, our practical tip is three questions to design your KPI reports. We'll help Measure Up subscriber Chris answer his question about how to present KPIs with minimal effort, and we'll wrap up with a few links that I've got for you to help you get your performance reports humming. I actually wrote this issue of Measure Up from the balcony of a lovely hilltop holiday unit at the end of a five-day mini break for the world-famous Noosa Triathlon. I was the runner for a team, but it was touch and go last week as to whether I'd run at all. My foot pulled up very sore at the end of my long run the last Sunday. And on the Monday, the physiotherapist said it might be a stress fracture. Good grief. Injuries like this are usually the consequence of overdoing it. I do train reasonably hard, but generally only what my coach Rena tells me to do. However, there were two things that I shouldn't have done the week before last: running a speed workout in bare feet and running very long uphills during my long run on feet that were still a bit tired from the barefoot run. When I told Rena about this, she laughed knowingly and strongly suggested that she would never have done what I did 1 week out from a race. I remember in February last year writing about my disappointment in missing my 50-minute goal for a 10K race back then. At Noosa, on the weekend, I managed 44 minutes and 17 seconds, but my foot's flared up again. Unlikely to be a stress fracture, though, thank goodness. I'm proud of the improvement that I've made over the last couple of years, and I know it's because of Rena's coaching, but my foot has shown me I need more than speed targets on my training dashboard. As lead indicators of injury, here are two KPIs I'm adding now. Number one, days since last injury, a count of days that have gone by since the day of my last injury. And two, severity level of post-training niggles. And that's on a scale of 1 to 10, my perceived severity of any unexpected soreness or fatigue in any body part the day following a training workout. How we present our performance information has a big bearing on how we respond to it, on how we go about trying to improve performance. Now, I know this stuff, but I wished I'd applied it to my training dashboard before I hurt my foot. This episode's practical tip is about three questions that useful performance reports will answer. And these three questions will help you respond in the right way to your measures to fundamentally improve performance rather than focusing on hitting targets. But before we get onto that, a quick message about upcoming events to skyrocket your performance measurement know-how. We're about to schedule our 2012 Performance Measure Blueprint workshops, and before we lock them in, wanted to see what your interest is. So if you feel inclined, please let us know if you're interested in any of our planned workshops for Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney, San Francisco, Boston, and London in 2012. Just email us at info@stacybarr.com. And let us know how many places to hold for you before we open registration to everyone else. Or if you're interested at all in performance measurement training tailored for your organization or company, we regularly run in-house performance measure blueprint workshops. We can provide you detailed information right away about the program, the tailoring, the benefits, and the prices if you email us again at info@stacybarr.com. And one of the topics that people love in the Performance Measure Blueprint workshop is the session about performance report design. I show them a case study of a simple but powerfully designed performance report, and many of them end up basing their new reports on that very template. While it's really simple, the Pump Performance Report template uses structure, content, formatting, and graphs in a unique way to make performance results pretty much jump off the page. One of these features is how the content is structured, and that is the topic of today's practical tip. You can get the written copy of the podcast feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. Unless your performance reports are focused on answering three critical questions, they're likely to bore you to sleep, lead you astray, or confuse the bejesus out of you. Question one is, what is performance really doing? Now, this doesn't mean what is performance doing today or what did it do last week. It means what is performance most likely to keep on doing if it's left alone. To answer this question, your performance measures need to be displayed in graphs that show the natural variability in performance over time. That's a new concept to many people, but it's so very simple to do it. In your performance reports, XMR charts are the best way to display performance measures. That's XMR, capital X, little m, capital R. These charts validly and visually flag the signals of true change in performance, a sudden shift, a gradual trend, a change in variation. To learn about XMR charts, get Donald Wheeler's fabulous book, Understanding Variation, The Key to Managing Chaos. It's written for management, it's easy to understand, and you can use this XMR chart for any type of performance measure that you track regularly through time. Question two is, why is it doing that? When you see a signal in your performance measure, like a sudden shift in the wrong direction, it's tempting to jump straight to solutions. Train staff, hire consultants, invest in technology, educate customers, write policies. But usually these fixes fail. You won't see the performance measure respond very well, if at all. Fixes fail when they aren't designed to target the true causes that underlie the signals we see in our performance measures. So it should go without saying that before you even think about a solution, you ought to have interrogated your measures and other related data to find out the cause behind the signal. This means analysing the work process that's being measured to identify potential causes, using data to verify which causes are correlated with the signal in your measure, and including a summary of this cause analysis in your performance report. Question three is, how should we respond? When you know the cause of the signal in your performance measure, you're much more likely to look for the right solutions. But there's more than one way to solve most problems. So performance reports that are most useful are ones that include some options for solutions, along with the pros and cons for each, so the report's audience can make an informed decision about the best way to respond to the performance measure. If you want to take action on these ideas, here's my suggestion. It might be time to take stock of your performance reports and see how well they answer these three questions. While you're at it, find out from users how useful and how usable they feel the reports are. Then design a fresh report template based around the three questions. For a shortcut in the form of instructions and a ready-made report template, take a look at the Pump How-To Kit for designing useful and usable performance reports at stacybarr.com/products/reportdesign.html. That's stacybarr.com/products/reportdesign.html. We're continuing the discussion about performance reports in answering this episode's reader's question. Measure Up subscriber Chris asks, how do I present performance measures consistently with minimal effort but delivering maximum value? Minimum effort performance reporting essentially starts with adopting standards in how you go about reporting. Whenever you use well thought through standards, it helps in reducing the time it takes to report on performance because you know you're only doing what needs to be done, and you can automate and streamline a lot of the repetitive data collation, analysis, and charting. Standardization starts with a template that's based on five aspects of performance report design. The first aspect is the structure of the report, or basically what the major headings will be. I like to standardize the structure on the current goals that are being measured. If you have five goals, then you'll have five headings in the report. The subheadings can then be the names of each of the performance measures you have for each goal. The second aspect to standardize is the content of the performance report, or what kind of information to include. Don't bother with long essays about project progress or detailed explanations about why this month was different to last month. That stuff tells you nothing important. The content to standardize on is answering the three questions discussed in this episode's practical tip. A graph to answer the question, what's performance doing? Some extra data analysis to answer the question, why is performance doing that? And some solution options to answer the question, how should we respond? The third aspect of performance reports that require minimal effort but deliver maximum value is graph design. The way you visually present your performance measure values is of paramount importance in how useful the measures will be and how validly they'll be interpreted. I standardize on using XMR charts, which, granted, are not your everyday graph and certainly aren't one of the default graphs provided by Microsoft Excel. But these XMR charts highlight real signals in your performance measures and stop you from knee-jerk reacting to differences between this month and last month, which essentially tell you nothing, even though that's what most people do. The fourth aspect is the formatting you use to make the key information jump off the page. This means using color to highlight priorities and not to decorate, using consistent symbols for things like target points and traffic lights, using consistent font styles for headings, and, if you're clever, using formatting to make the table of contents double as an executive summary. The fifth and final aspect is the medium you standardize on to publish your performance report. You can do wonders with Microsoft Excel and Word and make it as easy as updating the data in the Excel spreadsheet and then updating hyperlinks to the graphs in Microsoft Word. Then just update the cause analysis and recommended responses for each measure if you need to. It's even easier when you have a simple dashboard software like Tableau. Once you set up the links to your data, the graphs for each performance measure and the layout of your dashboards, you have your performance report available at the click of a button. It takes a bit of work to set up your performance report template, but it's worth it. The report is where the rubber hits the road with performance measurement, where you get your first opportunity to use a measure to improve performance. Well, only if you want a shortcut to set up your performance report, take a look at the PUMP how-to kit for designing useful and usable performance reports that I mentioned before. It's at, again, stacybarr.com/products/reportdesign.html. Well, if you ever have a question you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, just email it to me at measureup@stacybarr.com. Well, the final part for our episode today is to give you a few extra little tips so you can get some more info and help to make your performance reports really hum. The first resource I have for you is an article on the Measure Up blog, and it's called 5 Steps for a Fast Performance Dashboard. Most performance dashboard projects will get stalled, often because people focus too much on the technical whiz-bangery and not enough on the true value of the information that's being displayed. So there's 5 steps for how to make sure that when you develop your performance dashboard, you don't make the mistakes that everybody else always seems to make. The second extra resource I have for you is a reminder about an episode of this podcast, episode 3, in fact, quite a while ago. It's called Making Sure Your KPI Graphs Don't Suck. And it discusses 3 things that you need on your KPI graphs so that they truly can answer that question, what is performance doing? That episode also covers how to get executives understanding different methods of reporting performance results and how to choose the right type of graph for your KPI or performance measure or performance information. And the third extra resource I have for you today is another article on the Measure Up blog, and it's called Wow, What a Cool Performance Report. And it has some extra little tips too about what it takes to develop performance reports that really help people improve performance. Now, all of those resources you can find at measureupblog.com. You can just search for keywords or search for the titles that I've given you to find all the content. And here we are again at the end of another episode. Thanks again for listening in. You can download these podcasts. You can read the feature articles also at measureupblog.com. And another way to get the podcast is at iTunes. Just search for Measure Up. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.